Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have you out today. We're going to be in the book of Job. We'll start in Job chapter 1, verse 1. About halfway through the Old Testament. You've got Esther and Job and Psalms and Proverbs. The title of the lesson is God Appreciates the Blameless. Last week we talked about God targeting the ungodly. So being godly is a good thing. Being blameless is a good thing. We're talking about being blameless. We're not talking about being perfect. But we're talking about when wrong, we're willing to make that right pretty quick. And so you're blameless. You don't want to get caught being guilty, you know, if the Lord comes. But God appreciates the blameless. In the introduction, who is Job, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. How would you like that said at your funeral? I mean, blameless. I mean, if God thinks of you as blameless, that you're being honest. Upright, that you have standards of right and wrong, and you stick to them. You fear God. You have some real respect for God, and you try to do His will. And you turn away from evil. I mean, instead of rubbing elbows with it, and it drags you in, and deeper into evil, Job turns away from evil. He sees the danger where it's going. So, verse 3, who is Job? He's blessed greatly. He has 7 sons, 3 daughters. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Donald Trump can't compare to this guy. He's the greatest man, that man. God knows who Job is. That man is the greatest man in all the East. He has riches untold with God. He has a proper relationship between what he has and who God is. Verse 7 through 9, God knows Job. And that's important for God to know who we are. God knows Job. Verse 7, and the angels come to present themselves before God, and Satan comes. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. You know, everybody gets talked about Revelation chapter 12 and the devil and his angels were thrown out. This book is old, old, old. And Satan's on earth already. Isaiah 14, that comes later. Revelation 12 comes after the resurrection of Jesus. Have nothing to do with Satan falling to earth. It's another message. Satan's roaming about on earth. 1 Peter 5:8, seeking somebody to devour. And Jesus, God wants to know where he's been. I've been out doing what I do. Verse 8, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. God is proud of Job. Satan's trying to get everybody to do evil, to be hurtful, to be mean, you know, to be selfish. And on earth, there's this one guy that stands out, and God's proud of him. God appreciates being blameless. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan's cynical. Satan looks for the worst, thinks the worst. He don't believe anybody does anything for a pure heart. Job's not doing it because Job loves God only. There has to be more to it. Verse 10, and thou hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? He says, you've been hedging him in. You put fences up around Job where nothing bad can happen to him. Sure, he's going to serve you because you blessed him. Middle of verse 10. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, why is Job so blessed? Because he's blameless and upright. He fears God, and he turns away from evil. Most of the time, we don't want to do that, but we want to be blessed by God. No, this guy's blessed. And Satan knows why he's being blessed. But he thinks he's doing it for wrong motive. Verse 11, but put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse thee to thy face. That's what Satan thinks. You take away the blessings of people, and they'll curse God to his face. I mean, the only reason they're serving is because he blesses them. Well, God allows Satan to do anything except killing her. So Satan stirs up the Sabaeans. And the Sabaeans come down and they kill the oxen and his donkeys and his servants. And then Satan brings fire down from heaven and kills his sheep and his servants. And then he stirs up the Chaldeans and they come in and steal the camels and kill the servants. And then Satan brings a wind upon the house where all the children are beaten and they're all crushed to death in the destruction of the house. All in one day. Now the question comes, are you going to be blameless when adversity comes your way? It's easy to serve God when everything's going well. But are you still going to be blameless when bad things happen to you? Because Job's now got to decide, what's my reaction? He's lost everything. Verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. A lot of times bad things happen. We lose a loved one. We blame God. Where we need God more than we ever need him at that point. Job, you know, he's in mourning. You've lost your children, your possessions, and he's in mourning, but he's worshiping God. He's still clinging to God. Verse 21, he said, naked I came from a mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. And the Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Boy, if you follow your feelings, what? You won't follow the Lord long. And you and I, we think we need material things more and more. And as we're finding out in this country, they can't save your soul. They can't even protect you from anything. Things change. You come in with nothing and you're leaving with nothing. They're just things to be enjoyed. It makes life a little easier. That's all they are. And if they're gone, you're back where you started. It's just a little earlier in life, you know, than the end. Verse 22, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Boy, why is God looking at this guy? He's something special. That when adversity hits him hard, he doesn't sin, he doesn't blame God. Chapter 2, verse 7 through 10, point number 2, when others aggravate your situation, Job's got a terrible problem. You know, why didn't Satan take his wife? Because he had use for his wife. In chapter 2, verse 7, then Satan, and he goes back to God and he says, you know, if you let me take his life, let me hurt him rather. Oh, he'll curse you to his face then. Let me go a little further. So God said, okay, go ahead and hurt him. Verse 7, and Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to the scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. All over his body, the pain and the agony, and all you can sit there trying to break them, and you know, it's never ending. The solution is not coming quickly. This pain's going to last a long time. And Satan did it. Satan will be glad to bring pain in your life, if God allows it, he'll do it. Verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Integrity, I can't say it. Do you hold fast your integrity? Give up this God thing. Quit following God. Look at what you've got. You've lost everything. Where was your God then? Verse 9, his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh, it's one thing to be blessed and be the greatest man in the East, but have a wife like that. In your worst moment of your life, when you're in great pain and agony, her advice is the wrong advice. Takes away all hope. Why don't you just kill yourself? I'll be rid of you. Everybody be rid of you. What do you do? Do you still stay blameless when things happen to you that are bad? You still do the right thing. You still cling to God. And then other people aggravate the situation and take away any hope you have. What do you do then? Are you still going to be blameless? Or are you going to curse God and die? Is that a solution to die lost? No. Well, verse 10. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You're not prying him away from God. There's hope in God. Other people may try to help you do it, but he's not going there. And then he has three friends that hear about his agony. At the end of verse 11, they make an appointment to come together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. Well, that's good. Verse 12, when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. They don't recognize him. He's so swelled up and all those boils. In verse 13, they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. When his friends get there, it's so bad that they can't say a word for 7 days and seven nights. And Job doesn't say anything. Job doesn't know why this is happening, but it's happening. Chapter 3, verse 1, afterward Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Now he's not sinning, but there are times when you wish you'd never been born, it's so bad. He's just expressing the pain. He's not blaming God on it. Well, go to Job 38. Job chapter 38. And what do you do when God confronts you? Him and his friends start discussing the why's there and he must have sinned and a lot of things. And none of them are right. I mean, Job knows it, but Job's expressing a lot of things he don't understand. But his friends are really helping him. And what do you do? You still blameless when God confronts you? Everybody wants to talk about how God appeared to him. When God confronts you, are you still going to be blameless? Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, if God's approaching you through a whirlwind, that's not a good sign. It's not grace and happy to see you and all that stuff. Verse 2, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Job, do you have any idea what you're talking about? I've been listening. God hears all this. And you've got these words without knowledge. You're just rambling and guessing and speculating, and you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Verse 3, now gird up your loins like a man, and I'll ask you, and you instruct me. So you want to challenge God? Well, let's just ask you some questions here. Get yourself ready. Brace yourself. I'm going to ask the question, and you're so smart, you tell me how it works. Verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me. If you have understanding, then you start talking about how this ball, how do we form the base and the foundation of that ball out there in space? Job don't have a clue. Job's not eternal. He wasn't there. He wasn't wise enough to have input in the creation of this world. Chapter 40, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. Now you, when you're confronted by God, do you want to blame God for your problems? Do you want to be a fault finder like the rest of the ungodly? And then you look for people's faults so long that you start looking for God's faults. And God wants to know, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Is that what you want to do here? Verse 3, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to thee? I lay my hand on my mouth. Yeah, I shut up. Yeah, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I don't want to challenge you. I lay my hand on my mouth. I ain't saying no more. You don't need to be making things worse here. Now, you come over to chapter 42. You know, and so, you know, can you let God be God when God confronts you? Or do you want it to be His fault? You want to blame somebody else? Will you let God be God when you have no clue what's going on? 42:1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. You know, he admits, God's God, God's Almighty. You do what you want to do. You got a right to do it. There's nothing nobody can say about it. I agree. Verse 3, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. I said it, and I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Well, it's good to be honest. Did you and God understand one another, that you know and I don't know, and I probably need to be listening. And that's going to be the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians the end of chapter 14, y'all probably need to be listening. You know, we got the mind of God here. We're trying to give you instruction, but the Corinthians, no, they don't need it. Well, Job says, you know, I think I'll listen. Verse 4, hear now, and I'll speak. I'll ask thee, and do thou instruct me. Verse 5, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Well, I've heard about thee, now I see you. Face to face with God, and God wants to know why you're speaking out of ignorance here and spouting it out here for everybody. You know, verse 6, therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. I retract everything I said. That's God. He's going to let God be God. He don't know why these are happening to him. He's in great pain, and he's asking a lot of questions. He's making a lot of statements, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He probably should have been quiet and just wait on the Lord. But no, all that talking didn't get any encouragement, didn't get any help, didn't get any answers, and it stirred up the Lord. And so now, therefore I retract it. I take it all back. Now, Job's a blameless guy. When you get pressed in a corner, I'm wrong. Yeah, I agree. You're the right. I'm wrong. And I repent in dust and ashes. I want to make an expression. I'm going to throw dust in the air. I'm going to get dirty. And I'm going to put ashes on me. And I can't get no lower, Lord. I'm wrong. You're right. Well, verse 7. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you've not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. He's dealt with Job, and now the three friends have given answers to why Job's in this trouble. And God says to him, you guys haven't spoken what's right about me. I take offense to that. You can't say false things about God and God not be offended and upset and want nothing to do with you. You can't twist the Bible and claim God said it when He didn't say it and Him not be upset. So these two guys, He's mad at them because they haven't spoken of Him what was right. Verse 8, now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you, for I'll accept him, so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you've not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. You guys have made a mistake here. And it's going to cost you. I want 7 bulls, you know, and I want 7 offerings. I want you to, it's going to pay, you're going to pay a price here. Because you haven't spoken what's right about me. And you need to go to Job because I ain't listening to you guys. God doesn't listen to everybody's prayers. God has feelings, He has standards, He has rules, and He's not going to tolerate such things. You're going to speak about Him something that's not true, you got His attention. Verse 8, now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. I'm not listening to you. You go to Job. Job's blameless. Job's righteous. He's got a good attitude. I'm in fellowship with Job and not you two guys, and y'all need Job to pray for you. But then you've said a lot of bad things over this long period of time. Hurt him in his misery and give him no hope and no answers. He might not want to pray for you guys. Unless what? He's blameless. At the end of verse 8, for I'll accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly. You know, if God does according to our stupidity, we could be in real trouble. I mean, doing things out of foolishness and folly, they're not excused. No, ignorance leads you to doing more ignorance and getting yourself in trouble and not realizing you're in trouble. So God tells them, because you've not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. God wants you to speak truth about him. Verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. Now what if they didn't go? But you know, they wanted to do the right thing. They wanted fellowship with God, so what? The only way you can get to God is through Job here. And God accepted Job. They're still out of fellowship until Job prays for them. Verse 10, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. See, it was a test too. Even though Job is a blameless man, a righteous man, sometimes it might be hard to pray for people that have been giving you grief in the midst of your adversity and pain. But you know what Job did? He did the right thing. He cared about them. He wanted them to have fellowship with God. And so when he did pray for them, then he got blessed. Verse 10. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. He had no idea why he was suffering. But in the end, he got double. The Lord made it right. It was a test between God and Satan. Satan believes that nobody will serve God for right reasons, for pure motives. He thinks if you don't bless them, they won't bother. Well, that's the worldly approach. As long as you give me what I want, I'll serve you, Lord. But the true people, the blameless, the righteous, they serve God because He's great. And they get blessed as a result. On the day of Pentecost, Peter accused them of killing Jesus, the Son of God. Israel, the people of God, accused them in case they missed the point. Some of them said, what shall we do? Well, you need to change your ways. In Acts 2:38, he said, repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall get the gift of the Holy Spirit. By being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they get acceptance. They get forgiveness because Jesus died for their sins and Jesus rules, and only in His name can anybody get access to God. God doesn't listen to sinners. Sometimes you and I, we can be thankful that we have faith in Jesus and that we're inside Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Sometimes we go through things in life that don't seem fair. Lots of times there's bigger things in play than you and me. And we get caught in the middle of it. What do we do? Are we going to be blameless when things turn bad? If we lose everything, we still going to be blameless? We're going to blame God? Or are we going to let God be God? Well, in the end, God accepted Job. Job was His man. God appreciates people who can do the things that are right, who are blameless. He targets the ungodly, but He appreciates the people that do what's right, that speak right about Him, that follow truth. And no matter what happens to them, they cling to Him. He could have listened to his wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? It's lost. you know, sometimes you hurt bad enough, you'd soon, what, not be here longer. But where's faith? Where's your integrity at that point? Where's your fear of God? Is God going to be pleased with me? I take the easy way out if I do the wrong thing. But if I do the right thing, there's coming a moment in time where all that changes. Maybe by us passing away and angels coming and carrying us away to Christ. And we live forever and ever there. There's more involved than our little physical world here. There's a test going on. Who are the blameless? I know Job, he's blameless. Satan, yeah. The only reason he serves you is because you bless him. You put a hedge around his life and you're protecting him. He won't continue to serve you if you take it away. You allow me to hurt him? I can put pain in his life. Sometimes you and I get caught by evil people. We just get thrown up in it. Are we going to still be blameless? And in the end of it, when God confronts us for some of the stupidity we've been saying, are we still going to find fault with God? Or are we going to let God be God and say, I retract it. I'm the one that's wrong. And I want fellowship with you. And God accepts us. That's a good thing. Need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.